Blog Talk Radio.
I mean that. Oh, not a good day. I'm sure you guys had your eye on the election last night, New York primary. My state, of all the states, man, my state, supposedly one of the most liberal states in the country, let us down big time. So I got a lot about that. I'm going to give you the breakdown of what happened in the election. We have the Republican side. We have the Democratic side. We're going to discuss here whether or not Bernie Sanders still has a path to the nomination. You might like parts of the answer. You might hate other parts of the answer. But I'm going to give you answers. And what do we do if Hillary's the nominee? I mean, this is an important conversation to have. Now is the time to start having that conversation. I have many thoughts on that, so we're going to dive into that. Also, Huffington Post is reporting that Bernie Sanders is getting some support from an interesting group of people. I want to share that group of people with you and then explain why it makes perfect sense. Then we have some former progressives, Howard Dean and Kirsten Gillibrand, go after Bernie Sanders in a really bad way, if I don't say so myself. And, man, am I going to show you guys basically the worst possible mindset that you can have as a journalist. And guess who embodies it? And guess who proved it the other day? Anderson Cooper. Of all people, I know a lot of people out there, a lot of liberals kind of like him. They, you know, they don't dislike Anderson Cooper. How could you dislike Anderson Cooper? I dislike Anderson Cooper. And, you know, putting aside all the other shit, you could say, if only because of this clip. This clip really shows a lot about the mindset that he has. So you'll forgive my little cold and cough that I got going here. I know you could probably tell I'm a little congested. I really don't know what the fuck it is, man. It's weird. But we're going to fight through it. We're going to hold hands and fight through this, all right? So let's start with the New York primary and exactly what happened there. So we had the New York primary yesterday, and the results are mostly in, to be specific here, 98% in. On the Republican side, Trump decimated everybody in sight. He steamrolled the competition. He beat Kasich and Cruz. He won 60.5% of the vote, and he's likely getting 89 delegates from this. Kasich got second with 25% of the vote. He'll get three delegates, and Cruz got his ass handed to him on a silver platter. He only got 14.5% of the vote, and he'll get a grand total of zero delegates. So Trump will unquestionably, at this point, have the plurality of votes and the plurality of delegates by the convention. But we still don't know if he's going to hit the magic number of 1,237. So that's the number that he has to hit in order to win the nomination outright. It's up in the air as to whether or not he'll do that. He might just have a plurality and not hit the magic number, in which case they can try some tricky shit and they can try to take the nomination from him. But either way, it's probably going to be a messy convention. Now, on the Democratic side, huge night for Hillary Clinton. Again, with 98% of the precincts reporting, she has 57.9% of the vote. She'll pick up 175 delegates to Bernie's 106 delegates. Bernie had just 42.1% of the vote. You have to be honest at this point. Bernie's chances, his time is running out here. Okay, there's no more. I unfortunately can't come out here and say, oh, that's the bad news, but here's the good news. There's very little good news. Now, I'm going to give you some of the reason why he did so poorly in just a second here, but understand that while he does still have a path to the nomination, oh, that gap is closing. So it is going to be difficult. My job is to give you guys the facts, and I'm not going to give you false hope. You know, I had him at 25%, 30%, gone back and forth around there to win the nomination. At this point, after last night, I do drop him all the way to about 10%. So, you know, again, as much as you guys probably like Bernie, obviously I like Bernie, math is a stubborn thing. And if you look at the polling data and you match it up with what he has to do moving forward, whew, he needs a near miracle, and we got to call it for what it is. But let's take a second, like I said, and try to analyze why it is that Bernie did so poorly in New York. Well, first of all, independents can't vote in the primary in New York. It's what's called a closed primary. Democrats can only vote for the Democrats, and Republicans can only vote for the Republicans. And if you're an independent, you're asked out. You just can't vote. Which is really weird if you think about it, because there are plenty of people who want to vote and they can't vote in the primary. Now, second of all, to switch parties, you had to do it all the way back in October. So, again, if you don't think that gets in the way, hold on, because I'm going to tell you some personal stuff in a little bit where you'll go, oh, so you know somebody that happened to, and you're just one person. It could be the same case for many people. And then also, to just register to vote, you had to do it 25 days before the election. Think about how crazy that is. Because a lot of places now have same-day registration. Not only do we not have same-day registration, we don't have same-week registration. So that's lunacy. And perhaps most importantly here, the districts that were more likely to go for Bernie had their hours changed, and it was changed very recently. So it was supposed to be open from 6 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, and they changed it from 12 o'clock in the afternoon to 9 o'clock at night. The only ones that were able to stay open from 6 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night, the districts that are much more likely to go to Hillary. So, and the counties, I should say. So you had Westchester County, which went to Hillary overwhelmingly. It's where I am. Very depressing. You had Rockland. You had, I believe, Putnam. You had, obviously, all of the city was able to stay open from 6 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. And I believe you had Erie County, which might have been one or maybe one of two of the counties that had the longer hours that actually went to Bernie, but it was close there. So they know, man. The Democratic Party in New York knows. They know which places are more likely to go to Bernie, and those were the places that overwhelmingly had their hours changed. The more rural places in New York went Bernie. They also happen to be the places that had their hours changed. Coincidence? I leave that up to you to find out. And listen to this, guys. So again, on this same theme here of fuckery behind the scenes. So my brother-in-law wanted to vote for Bernie, but he's a registered Republican. And by the time he realized, okay, he would have to switch parties, it was too late for him to switch parties. So that's just one story. Granted, anecdotal. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. This isn't the end-all be-all. But also, one of my best friends and his wife, of course, they're New Yorkers, but they just recently moved out of state, and they also wanted to vote for Bernie, but apparently the process in order to, you know, get an out-of-state ballot or whatever the fuck they call it was a complex one, and they weren't able to do it in time. So there again, you have two more votes that were supposed to go for Bernie that didn't go for Bernie. And then we also, when I was at the polling place and I was voting, there was a guy who came up and he said, okay, I don't know if I'm I don't remember if I'm registered independent or Democrat, but can you check to see if my name is there? So he told them their name. The polling workers go through it. They don't find his name. So they say, well, I mean, I guess you can do a provisional ballot if you want. And then the kid says, you know, come to think of it, I probably am registered independent. So, and then the polling workers say, okay, well, in that case, you can't do a provisional ballot because if you know you're an independent, well, then we know it's a closed primary and independents can't vote in it. So then the poor kid had to to turn away and go home. He wanted to come vote. He took the time out of his day to come vote. He gets there. He's not sure if he's independent or Democrat. And lo and behold, because of the stupid rules in New York, okay, well, now I got to go and I can't vote. This is fucking democracy? This is what it looks like? Now, everybody needs to understand something. Even if New York was, you know, all the rules that make more sense and all the rules that we can all admit would be more in favor of Bernie, like if you allow independents to vote and it's an open primary, even if that's the case, he still may have lost New York because he lost by a really solid chunk here. But on principle, shouldn't we have a better system anyway? So even if Hillary Clinton still would have won, and let's go crazy here, and even though this is not the case, but let's say we had, you know, an open primary and we had independents allowed to vote, and Hillary won by more. Again, that wouldn't have happened, but just for argument's sake here. Even then, I would still be in favor of having a more open primary. Why? Because it makes sense. More votes get counted. More people have their voice heard. I mean, it's crazy not to have that. And I haven't even brought up the fact that there were many voter purges that are kind of questionable. Over 100,000 people in Brooklyn alone. And Brooklyn happens to be Bernie's hometown. That's where he grew up, in Brooklyn. That's where he was born. So there's a lot of creepy stuff going on, man. Now, again, you don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's overwhelmingly likely the case that Hillary would have won either way. But we could be talking about the difference between a 4-point victory and a 15-point victory, which makes a big difference. So at this point, and we'll get to the story in a second about how Bernie Sanders has a path forward, but it's a very hard path forward, okay? But understand that it was not a good night on the Democratic side. It was certainly not a good night for Bernie Sanders, and it's some depressing news here. And it now looks, again, calling it for what it is, it looks overwhelmingly likely that in the general election we're going to have a Trump versus Hillary fight. It's depressing me to even think about it. Okay. Whew. All right, let's go to the story about Bernie Sanders' chances here. So does Bernie Sanders still have a path to the nomination? Well, the answer is yes, but the likelihood is very, very small at this point. So what would he have to do moving forward? What's the easiest path for him to the nomination? Well, Nate Silver of 538 laid this out in great detail the other day during the live blog of the election in New York. He would have to win California by about 18 points. 18 points minimum. That is a tall order. He would have to win Pennsylvania by about 9 points. He'd have to win New Jersey by 10 points. They have him losing here, Maryland, I think because Maryland is, again, overwhelmingly in favor of Hillary at the moment. So he has to lose Maryland by, you know, 7 points or less. He would have to win Indiana by 18. He'd have to win Oregon by 51. He'd have to win Puerto Rico by 13, Connecticut by 16, Kentucky by 24, New Mexico by 12, West Virginia by 38, Rhode Island by 33. Delaware, he has to lose by 5 or less. Montana, he has to win by 52. South Dakota, he has to win by 40. Washington, D.C., he's got to lose by 10 or less. North Dakota, he's got to win by 56. Guam, he's got to win by 14, and Virgin Islands, he's got to win by 14. So that's basically all of the elections moving forward and what he would have to do. Now, I believe it was after Arizona, he needed 58% of the delegates and the popular vote moving forward or thereabouts. Obviously, that's now gotten a little more difficult because New York was a big state with many delegates, and keep it real, he got his ass handed to him. So the answer is, there is a path forward, but that path is exceedingly difficult. If you look at the polling data right now and you look at what he has to win by, oof, it's rough. So, again, you guys know if you've been listening to the show for a while now, I've been giving you what I think his chances are. It's basically oscillated back and forth between 25% and 30%. And at times it dipped as low as 20%, and at times it went as high as 35% maybe. As it stands today, I think he has maybe a 10% chance of getting the nomination. So those are really, really bad odds. Okay, you have to call it what it is. And then, yet again, if we get to the general election, and it seems likely right now it's going to be Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. What the fuck is there to look forward to? I get anxiety and I get a nauseous feeling just thinking about it. This is what the numbers are, but what do I think Bernie supporters should do? Go hard as a motherfucker. Everybody out there who's a Bernie supporter, and you know he's on the ropes and it's very difficult. Jesus. Double down, triple down, quadruple down, go out and fight. And I think that's the point. If he's going to go down, do not go down without a vicious, ferocious fight. Okay. Now, let's go to what happens if Hillary Clinton is the nominee. Oh, I don't want to have this conversation, but we're going to have this conversation. We got to have this conversation. So it's time to have the conversation that I think most of us wanted to avoid, the conversation of what do we do if Hillary Clinton is the nominee? Well, I was on TYT last night for their election coverage, and Jimmy Dore was making the argument, 100% Hillary Clinton has to earn your vote. Don't just go vote for her. Don't do anything unless she proves to you that she meets the standards. And even if that means her getting her ass handed to her in the general and it going to Trump and us having a horrific, damn near fascist Republican president for 4 years or maybe 8 years or whatever it is, well, that's the price you pay because you didn't earn our vote. So, you know, he's basically making the Bernie or bust argument here. And he wasn't playing around. He basically says, if you continue to vote for these neoliberals, well, you're part of the problem because then you're picking between the lesser of two evils, and you're still picking somebody that's fucking evil. So you're not helping, you're hurting, and if the Overton window and the spectrum of debate is so far to the right, what's the fucking point? We gotta fight, and we gotta drag it back to the left, and if that means not voting for a horrific Democratic candidate, so be it. So that's the point that he was making. Now, Cenk was on the polar opposite end of the spectrum, where he said, okay, but Jimmy, you have to be pragmatic about this. You have to be realistic about this. The bottom line is, we all know that Hillary Clinton, as horrible as she is, on virtually every single social issue, she's going to be better than any Republican. And also, the Supreme Court. So, the Supreme Court, you know, even if you get a center-right, you know, justice from Hillary, and you will, because she said, hey, I like Merrick Garland, that's still way better than Antonin Scalia 2.0 that you might get from any Republican. And then if we have a really conservative Supreme Court moving forward, well, that you have to understand that hurts the country in so many ways that we honestly don't weigh into account enough. So when you're given the option of something that's really, really fucking bad and something that's worse, yeah, you have to be an adult and pick the thing that's really, really bad because it ain't worse. So those were the two arguments. Now, where do I fall on it? Some of you may have watched the live coverage, so you know exactly what I'm going to say here. But I actually think they're both right. So what I mean by that is there's a strategy to this. There has to be some sort of punishment for Hillary Clinton not being pure enough. So do I have a purity test? Fuck yeah, I have a purity test. And that's not the same as a Tea Party purity test because guess what? They're wrong about almost everything. and progressives and liberals, when it comes to policy positions, we are right. We're right about universal health care. We're right about universal college. We're right about, you know, paid vacation time, increasing the minimum wage, raising taxes on the rich, stop the offensive wars. We're right about it, so you're damn fucking right I have a purity test. There has to be some kind of punishment for her not being a good enough Democrat. Again, you have to earn our vote, so Jimmy's right about that. So what I say is, if you're in a red state or if you're in a blue state and you know it's going to go red or you know it's going to go blue, so if you're in California, you're in New York, you're in Mississippi, you know, all these kinds of states, don't go vote for Hillary. Fuck her. Don't go vote for her. She didn't earn your fucking vote. Now, is there a way that she perhaps can? Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know, if she were to pick Bernie Sanders as a running mate, or maybe Elizabeth Warren, or she were to make a pledge where Bernie says to her, hey, here are my policy positions. If you switch on these three key positions and you sign a pledge for it, well, then I will support you and I'll have my supporters support you. Well, then, yeah, maybe in that case, sure, you can go ahead and do it, and I'm open to that as well, okay? But if you're in a deep red state or a deep blue state, don't go vote for her. Just don't do it. I got to be honest. I'm in New York. It's going to go to the Democrat no matter what. So am I going to take time out of my day to go vote for somebody like Hillary Clinton, who I disagree with in so many ways? She's basically the single worst Democrat that could be running on for our party that I dislike. Yeah, I'm not going to take time out of my day. If anything, I'll go vote for Jill Stein, or I'll go write in Bernie Sanders or do something like that because I'm in New York. If I'm in Florida, if I'm in Ohio, am I going to vote for Hillary? Yes. Now, again, this conversation makes nobody happy because there are people who are strongly in both camps. But here's the reality, guys. It is also true, as bad as Hillary is, that, oh, my God, Trump or Cruz would be way worse. Any Republican would be way worse. Again, why? Most importantly, every single social issue, you don't want to roll the clock back to 1950 or have them try to do it. You know Hillary's not going to do that. Even though she recently came around to gay marriage in 2013, she ain't going to try to go backwards. That, and there's a million other issues, reproductive rights, you name it. On virtually every social issue, she's better. And with the Supreme Court, again, I can't stress how important that is. Now, furthermore, with somebody like Trump, you have a guy who half the time is promising to commit war crimes. You just do, okay? Now, Hillary Clinton, for all her flaws, and she has many, she's smarter than Donald Trump. We can give her that, okay? We can give her that. That's not an outrageous claim. I think that's an accurate claim. She is smarter than Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a buffoon, and he's deeply authoritarian. So you have a guy who says, I'm going to kill civilians in the Middle East. I'm not just going to kill ISIS. I'm going to kill the families of ISIS. You have somebody who says, yeah, I'm going to fucking torture. I'm going to torture, quote, even if it doesn't work. You have somebody who promises in a thousand ways to honestly make the country way worse than it is. So if I'm in a swing state, and I'm not a hypocrite on this either, I need everybody to understand that if I lived in Ohio, or if I lived in Florida, or if I lived in any swing state, or anything that could conceivably be a swing state, yes, the lesser of two evils, but one person actually is the lesser of two evils. But again, if I live in a deep red state or a deep blue state, you don't have to waste your time, you don't have to go do it. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to have to go through the laundry list here, but I'm going to go through the fucking laundry list. Hillary Clinton voted for the Patriot Act. Fourth Amendment, bye-bye. Eighth Amendment, bye-bye. No more habeas corpus, no more due process. She was for NAFTA, and she was for multiple outsourcing deals. She lobbied for the TPP 45 times. She supported Graham Leach Bliley, which is the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, which led to the crash and the subprime mortgage crisis in 2008. She voted for the Iraq fucking war. She promises to make the same mistake in Syria. And again, I could go on here. She fails on some of the key fundamental principles of being a progressive. So not for single-payer health care, not for universal college. That's a big deal to me, okay? So that's the reason why I'm fine with you drawing moral red lines if you're in a red state or a blue state. And I'm fine with you making her sweat it out for the election and letting her know, hey, you ain't pure enough. Okay, but at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, if you're in a swing state, yeah, you vote for her. Because again, no matter what other arguments are out there, and there are many, and I've made them myself, don't become so confused and get it so meshed in your head where you really start to think that it's a 50-50 thing. and Trump is bad, Hillary's bad, bad, so blah, whatever. No, one is worse. There's no question that one is worse. Only one wants to ban all Muslims from entering the U.S. Only one wants to deport all undocumented immigrants. Only one says that wages are too high in America. I mean, again, that list goes on and on, too, of the ways in which Trump is worse, the ways in which Cruz is worse, and I would say Cruz is even worse than Trump. So I know this is an unsatisfying answer and an unpalatable answer, but I think it's the real answer. I think there has to be some sort of punishment for Hillary not being progressive enough, and that's people in red states and blue states where you know where it's going saying, fuck off. But in swing states, it definitely, definitely do vote for her. And in terms of what happens on this show moving forward, guys, we just call it like it is. So if there's a story that comes across my desk where Hillary Clinton is 100% right on something and Donald Trump is 100% wrong, I'm going to say that, and I'm going to argue for that, and I'm going to give you all the facts. If it's vice versa, if it's in the debate and Donald Trump says Hillary Clinton's corrupt, I'm going to say he's right, because he's right. He calls her Crooked Hillary. That's a fair name, okay? So our thing is objectivity. Wherever the facts go, wherever they lead, that's where we're going. So I will be calling it like it is, and sometimes that'll mean saying Hillary's right. Sometimes it'll mean saying Trump's right. Sometimes it means saying both of them are dead wrong. And probably, let's keep it real, most of the time I am going to say both of them are wrong because they're often really wrong. But in the general election, if that's what it is, Trump versus Hillary, which looks overwhelmingly likely now, there's not much to look forward to. And it's all bad options. It's just a matter of what's the least bad option. Okay. Okay, I got to take a break here. When we come back, Huffington Post is reporting on Bernie Sanders getting some awesome support. I can't wait to tell you about that. And then Anderson Cooper, oh boy, does he let me down. I didn't think it was possible for him to let me down more, but he let me down even more. So stay right there. We'll discuss that and much more.
All right, we're back, y'all. So I emailed the executive producer at TYT. I'm trying to get the whole conversation that we had.
And when I get it, I'll post it on Secular Talk. I don't think they planned on uploading the entire segment, because it was a long discussion about what to do if Hillary's the nominee. But I'll try to get my hands on all of it and then put it on Secular Talk. It's worth it. I think it was a good conversation. Now, let's move forward here with an endorsement of Bernie from, if I don't say so myself. Huffington Post is reporting that Bernie Sanders is getting some support from an interesting group of people. They say the union representing the Indiana workers slated to be laid off by Carrier Corporation has endorsed Bernie Sanders. The Carrier workers found themselves in the national spotlight after a video emerged in February that showed a company executive informing them that their jobs were going to Mexico. The company plans to offshore 2,100 jobs. The union decided to back Sanders because of his consistency in opposing trade deals such as the North American Free Trade Agreement. All right, so think about this story. You have the people in the country who are quite literally the most left behind going, yeah, now that our back's against the wall, where are we going to turn? To the guy who we know we trust and who we know will fight for us. So all the other bullshit, all the other nonsense, they're like, yeah, whatever. Trump mentions these guys in stump speeches almost everywhere he goes. And what does the union say? Yeah, we don't believe you. And they're right to say that because Trump is a con man and he's a liar. So they hear that and they're like, I don't care. Yeah, that guy mentions us in every speech. Bernie Sanders does not mention them in every speech. Maybe every once in a while he'll mention them. But Trump definitely mentions them more. They're like, I don't care. Hillary has the endorsement of, I'm not sure if it's most unions or if it's just some of the biggest name unions, but they know, after you do a little research, you find out that all the unions that endorsed her, it's the leadership of the unions that makes the decision. So in other words, it's not the actual people, the actual workers in the union who have a Democratic vote, a popular vote within the union. When you do the popular vote, the Democratic vote within the unions, guess who they always pick? Bernie fucking Sanders. So here you have people who were just told, you're losing your jobs, and they're going to Mexico. And what do they say? Oh, no question who we support for president. Because not only does he say the right things, and not only is his position correct, he has been consistent every step of the way. Hillary, look at that! Lo and behold, in a Democratic primary, all of a sudden, she's more against TPP. She says, well, what do you mean? I'm against it. I just waited to read it before I came out against it. That's what she says against Bernie. But now, hold on. That means that you lobbied for it 45 times when you didn't know what was in it? That's the argument you're making. That's the point you're making. She pushed for it 45 times. Now she's against it. She's only against it, guys, because she has a progressive lion roaring up from her left in the primary. And she knows, on some issues, I got to outflank him on the left. Because if I don't do that, well, then I'm going to get my ass handed to me. So now I'm going to pretend to be Mrs. Progressive. And the fucking cherry on top in this entire conversation is what? The Sam Stein article that we covered in Huffington Post recently, where he lays out in great detail. Hillary Clinton has a general election pivot problem. Now, again, some of you who don't know politics well might hear that and go, what does that mean? I don't understand what that means. That means that he's voicing it. He's like, well, I mean, Bernie is such a nuisance, and he's getting in her way so much, and he's been holding on for so long that Hillary can't run even further to the right for the general election, which obviously is the right strategy. Isn't that amazing, man? Like, it's expected from the pundit class, and that's beyond pathetic. Like, think about the whole concept of a general election pivot. What does that mean? I'm going to go back on everything I said in the primary where I pretended to be progressive to appease my base in a primary. And now I'm going to go to the general and try to appeal to moderates and independents by being further right-wing, which, by the way, makes no sense because Bernie Sanders is further left-wing, and he overwhelmingly wins moderates and independents. So if you wanted that to be the case, if you want to actually win them, you got to run there too. But no, in their infinite stupidity, the Democratic strategists left over from the Clinton era, the Bill Clinton era, the New Democrat era, They say, always triangulate, always run to the right, always say you're more centrist, always say I'm above the fray, and I agree with Republicans half the time. We don't want that anymore! But, you know, here you see a clear case of the people in the country who are most put down, who are most left back, who are most forgotten, who our policies fuck over the most, regular middle-class Americans. When push comes to shove and they know that they're in trouble, what do? Of course I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders. I mean, what are you kidding me? Yes, we endorse him. And that's just the chapter that's directly affected by this, by the way. The overall union, so the national chapter, if you will, as opposed to the local chapter, they're – mum's the word. We're not saying who we're endorsing. But again – when you actually get to the people who are in trouble, they're like, Bernie, 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 Bernie. And they're right to take that position. Okay. Now let's go to Howard Dean. Howard Dean, who used to be a progressive, is now a strident Hillary Clinton supporter, and he went on MSNBC to do some finger wagging at Bernie Sanders.
Here's the big question. We don't know what's going to happen tonight in New York, but if Hillary wins by, as Casey said, a double-digit margin, it probably is time for Bernie to pull the party together. The only beneficiary of this kind of a fight, which has gotten really personal and ugly, are the extreme right wing of the Republican Party, which Bernie had said that he would do nothing to do to make anything to help a right winger win the presidency. Well, now he's got to make good on that pledge for the sake of the country.
So, Governor, am I understanding you correctly? Are you saying that Bernie Sanders should drop out if he loses big tonight?
I'm saying, no, I don't think he has to drop out. I think he's going to want to make a speech at the convention and so forth and so on. But I think he's got to tone down the rhetoric. This is bitter. His supporters are, many of them, not I don't think the majority, but there are a lot of them. I'm getting all this stuff on Twitter and Facebook. Yeah, it's just not helpful to do this. It polarizes people. It weakens the left. It weakens progressives. It's not good for the country. So I don't expect him to drop out, and I think he has a right. He's earned the right to make a speech at the convention and to continue to compete. But I think he's got to dial back his rhetoric because it's really harming the party. It's harming the and it's more importantly, it's harming the country.
Oh, please. Bernie Sanders' rhetoric is harming the country. No, I think what's harming the country is the targets that Bernie's talking about. So Wall Street bankers, for example, who he goes after ruthlessly. Yeah, they're the problem. He's calling out the problem, and since he's calling out the problem, you're getting mad at him. This is an old Fox News trick. They used to do this all the time. So when Democrats and liberals and progressives would come out and talk about the disaster that's the Iraq War, the Fox anchors would not talk about the actual topic, the Iraq War. They would talk about the people talking about the Iraq War and say, oh, my God, did you just say it's not going well? You hate America. You hate the troops. Why are you so unpatriotic? Why are you fucking attacking the messenger? They're just screaming fire. They're just like, oh, shit, look what's happening. This is bad. Like, oh, yeah, it's bad. It's like there's literally a fire in a movie theater. Somebody's like, fire! You're like, oh, is that what you're going to do? You're going to scare everybody and you're going to say there's a fire? What the fuck's wrong with you, man? Come on, sit down and relax. Why are you being so uppity and antsy about this? Like, no, the problem is the fucking fire. It's not the guy saying fire. Same thing with Bernie. Oh, my God, Wall Street. The rigged economy fucking over the middle class. Oh, my God, military-industrial complex. Big problem. And Howard Dean's like, oh, you know, you're really dividing the country here, Bernie. The people who are the targets that he's talking about, they're dividing the country, not him. So, Howard Dean, man, what a fall from grace. This guy used to be a progressive. He used to be a liberal. He used to have a similar message to Bernie when he ran. And then ever since, you know, that didn't go well, he sold out to industry and he's worked as a lobbyist and now he's a big supporter of Hillary Clinton. And he's just a joke at this point. And furthermore, look at some of these. Tone down the rhetoric. Look at what he says. Like he's, you know, condescending and smug and dismissive. Bernie, pipe down, okay? Play nice.
I know you're exposing this entire corrupt, grotesque system for what it is, but shh, stop. And he says, you're helping Republicans by doing this. Actually, no, he's stating facts. And if said facts wind up helping Republicans, then maybe Hillary shouldn't have done the things that he's rightly accusing her of doing. So when he says, hey, you went to Goldman Sachs, you took $675,000 for a few speeches, you're probably going to do their bidding. And in comes Howard Dean. Not to get mad at Hillary for taking the money and doing the speeches, to get mad at Bernie. Oh, my God, there you go again, calling out facts, helping the Republicans by stating facts. Look, we all know the Republicans are worse. We all know they're 100% sold out as opposed to the Democrats who are, I don't know, 80% sold out. But that's not something to fucking celebrate. It's, oh, we're less bad. Aren't you so happy to vote for us? No, I want you to fucking get your act together more and be principled like somebody like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren. So, God, it gets under my skin. And then, again, the final point here that's the whipped cream and the cherry on top is, he says, he's weakening the left. He's weakening progressives. No, Howard. You are. You are, and Hillary is. We're talking about, don't make me go over the list again. You're going to fucking make me go over the list again. I hate you with a burning passion. How is it the candidate that's weakening progressives is the one who wasn't for the Iraq War, who didn't vote for the Patriot Act, who's been consistent and right on virtually every single issue, where the one you're supporting, the candidate you're supporting, voted for the Patriot Act, was in favor of NAFTA and multiple outsourcing deals, lobbied for TPP 45 times, supported Graham Leach-Bliley, which repealed Glass-Steagall. She just came around to gay marriage in 2013. She voted for Iraq. She wants to do more intervention in Syria. She wants a more muscular foreign policy. On Israel-Palestine, her position is exactly what Benjamin Netanyahu's position is. And you're going to say, Bernie, the actual liberal, the actual progressive, is weakening progressives. No, you are, because you're using the banner, you're using the title of liberal and progressive, and then you turn around and you support many of the things the Republicans support, and you abandon progressives on their most important points, namely being more non-interventionist on foreign policy. Hillary's not that. Being in favor of universal college and being in favor of universal health care. On all the main ones, you abandon the left. You weaken the left as you scream about Bernie weakening the left. My ass cheeks. Stop making shitty arguments. It ain't working. Okay. Now let's go to Anderson Cooper. Oh, my God. I'm getting like, this is like a chunk in the middle of the show here where my blood pressure goes up for these specific stories. That's not good. I need a break between the blood pressure rising stories, and I do not get that. Anderson Cooper was on Howard Stern's show, and he spoke about his philosophy on voting. Now let's listen to it, and then when we come back, I'll explain why I think he couldn't be more wrong.
And will you reveal who you're voting for in the next election? Who are you hoping for?
You know, I don't think I'm going to vote. I don't think reporters should vote.
That
you
is
don't
insane.
Vote? That's like you're not a citizen.
A lot of reporters don't vote.
Who does it? What reporter do you know that doesn't vote?
It's a thing. It's a debate. I've had the debate. There have been years where I have voted because sometimes I thought maybe I should, and then
I've gone
back and forth on it.
But you're an American, and we should care.
Yeah, but I don't want to be influenced one way or the other.
But people in other countries don't have this right.
Look, I believe people do, but it's not my role is to ask questions and not like.
This might be the most shocking thing I've heard you say.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
Look, I've gone back and forth on it over my life, so there have been some years where I voted.
When's the last time you voted?
I honestly can't remember, but
isn't the truth that you're just too famous to vote and you don't like going voting and the people mob you?
I actually enjoy
it. They get mobbed in the voting booth.
Right. Is that the problem?
No, I really.
It's not cool. It's not like Coachella.
I don't like feeling like I have a that I've taken a stand.
Well, but you must have a stand in your mind.
But I think it's something you actively need to fight against and push against.
Wow.
That's embarrassing. He is honestly a caricature and a parody of one of the biases that we talk about all the time on our show. What do we say about CNN? What do we say about the nightly news, ABC, CBS, NBC? What do we say about all those shows, and what do we say about the entire network of CNN? What's their bias? We call it the neutrality bias. So neutrality means no matter what, you have to call it 50-50, no matter what. So even if the facts are overwhelmingly on one side of an argument, and the answer indeed is a black and white thing, nope, you have to try to make it 50-50 at all costs, which is why, for example, they've had on CNN debates about climate change between Bill Nye the Science Guy, who says, hey, this is real, we might want to pay attention to it, versus Marsha Blackburn, who's a Republican congresswoman who knows Dickie McGeezax about climate science. She says, no, it's not real. But they set it up like it's a 50-50 thing. I mean, back in the day, I don't know if they still do this, but they probably do. They used to have debates where it's like, okay, this person says evolution is real. This person says creationism is real. Go ahead and debate. That's not a debate. That's not a debate. There's nowhere near a debate. You're basically having a debate between somebody who says, hey, the world is 4.54 billion years old. We have various scientific dating methods that prove this, and we can show you how it works. Versus somebody who says, I think it's 6,000 years old, because if you add up the stories in the Bible, that's what it comes to. If you, as a journalist, as a reporter, can't bring yourself to say, that guy's right, that guy's wrong, you should be fired, because you're not doing your fucking job. You think you're doing your job, but you're not doing your job. Take Anderson Cooper's mindset and just place it at different times in history. So if Anderson Cooper, if CNN was around during the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, how would Anderson Cooper have covered that? How would he have covered the Civil Rights Movement? Look, if he sticks to his principle of you got to fight against what you think is the truth, you can't be biased no matter what, you can't actually like go vote for somebody and care. No, you can't determine somebody's right and wrong. Well, how would that manifest itself? You know, on the one hand, we had these peaceful guys marching. This guy, Martin Luther King, who's talking about peace and talking about acceptance and tolerance and an anti-racist message. And on the other hand, we have this guy, Bull Connor, who's a racist prick, sicking dogs on, protesting young black kids. There's two sides to this story. One side says, hey, you're violating a law and order, and the law is segregation, so you need to know your role and get in your place, boy. And the other ones are saying, nah, I think these laws are unjust. It's up to you. You make your mind up. Law and order versus new rules. Hey, Bull Connor, MLK, it's up in the air. Who knows what's right? I have an opinion, but I need to suppress it. You have to fight against it because, God forbid, you come to a fucking conclusion and you say, based on the facts and based on normal human decency, that person is right, that person is wrong. No, he fights against that. That's why Anderson Cooper has been with CNN for so many years. That's why he has a primetime show. That's why they love him. And that's why his ratings blow donkey nuts. Terrible. You know, he's slightly more famous than Wolf Blitzer. Wow! Wolf Blitzer, the human robot who's never had an opinion in his entire fucking life. There's a reason why he gets most time on CNN. Because he's a robot. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want, actual answers. They don't want real news. They don't want data. Because guess what? When you actually care about the facts, sometimes you got to go out there and say, hey, the war in Iraq, it was an illegal war. Hey, you killed minimum 200,000 civilians. Hey, it cost trillions of dollars. Hey, not only was that a horrific idea, but perhaps some of the people who made the decisions should be in front of an international tribunal and perhaps spending life in prison. If you say that, oh my God, liberal bias, liberal bias. And the last thing these guys ever want is to be accused of a liberal bias. So what do? I'll be neutral at all costs. I'll be neutral at all costs. And then that appeases the Republicans, but how does that manifest in reality? It's actually a conservative bias. A neutrality bias is a conservative bias because the facts overwhelmingly are more liberal. So when you call it 50-50, you're biasing it in favor of the conservatives. He makes the number one mistake in journalism today. He confuses neutrality with objectivity. Objectivity is what a journalist should be, always calling it like it is, always stating the facts. No matter where the conclusions lead, that's what you talk about. That's what you talk about. But no, he says 50-50 no matter what. So when Donald Trump comes along and says, We're going to ban all Muslims from entering the U.S. All Muslims. Sufi Muslims, Ahmadi Muslims, moderate Shias, Sunnis. All Muslims. Over a billion people. In Anderson Cooper's world, some believe you should do that, some believe you shouldn't do that. Not, hey, by the way, that's massively unconstitutional, that's incredibly discriminatory, and you are generalizing and saying all Muslims are guilty for the terrorism of few Muslims. Can't say that. God forbid you have a liberal bias. God forbid you say something that, you know, upsets people and rocks a boat. Under no circumstance. You just committed the most egregious sin in the eyes of the mainstream media. Actually telling it like it is. Oh, and the funny thing is, he thinks he's so sophisticated. He thinks he's so mature, like, oh, I'm so above it all that I don't even have opinions. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And you just fucking hide them when you're on air, and you fight against it and try to say conclusions are wrong by definition. All right. Let me do one more here, and then we'll take a break. Actually, I can't let this fucking Anderson Cooper thing go. Ah, I'm trying to fight off giving more commentary on it. Fuck it, I'm going to do it anyway. Donald Trump said in this election cycle, hey, we need to kill civilians in the Middle East. Target them. Okay, that means the presidential candidate just advocated murder, just advocated terrorism. Said, let's not just go after ISIS. We need to go after the families of ISIS. Grandmas, toddlers, whatever, children, I don't care. Target them on purpose. So you have somebody literally advocating war crimes. And Anderson Cooper, according to his philosophy, that's debatable. It's a debatable thing, 50-50. I can't actually come out and say that's wrong, because if I do, well, then I'm taking a position. And that's the last thing a journalist should do. The one thing you can never do is say, wrong, and that's right. So, you know, hey, he's letting you know, man. You can take him out of, put him in any context throughout history, and he'll call it 50-50. So, you tell me how that would have worked out and how that journalism would have looked in some of the most disastrous dictatorial regimes in human history. I'll let you fill in the blanks in your mind as to which ones I'm thinking of. All right, like I said, one more. Rafael Cruz, real quick. Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz, is on the campaign trail, and he's doing media appearances for his son. And he went on a right-wing radio show where he offered us this brilliant theory.
You know, Larry, if we look at America, there is tremendous religious persecution in America. More specifically, persecution against Christians and Jews in America. But we got to realize that is not the objective. That is only the means. You see, communism, socialism, Marxism, we can't get caught up in semantics. It's all the same. It requires for government to become your God. And in order for government to become your God, they must destroy the concept of God. That's what's behind this attack on religion. And I speak at length about this in my book, A Time for Action. And so we need to realize the attack on religion is to have you not put your trust in God, but put your trust in almighty government.
Okay, that clip wasn't even a minute long, and I can't even count the number of ridiculous things he said there. So I love the beginning, you know, persecution against religions in this country. The religious people are so persecuted, but mostly against Christians and Jews. Now, Jews, in some cases, that's actually true. There's more hate crimes against Jews than any other religious group in the United States of America. So in that respect, it's true. Against Christians, my ass cheeks. Nowhere near true. They run almost everything, and no doubt Muslims have it worse in the U.S. than Christians do. But obviously, he can't bring himself to say, oh, they're persecuted, because he wants to persecute them. So he said, oh, my God, we're so persecuted. But he says, ah, wait, the persecution against Christians in the U.S., again, non-existent, but he says it anyway, that's not the end goal. The end goal is communism. Name one Democrat, one elected official, one elected Democrat in the country who's a communist. I'll wait. Can't do it. It doesn't exist. Also, he's like, well, the idea is obviously get God out of the country and then have government be God. That's the problem, all these atheistic communists. How many elected officials are atheists in Congress? I know there used to be one. Is there one today? I don't know. Bernie's kind of like a deist, or at least when he talks, what he describes is kind of like deism, not really atheism, although people suspect he's an atheist. They might be right, but he's not open about it. So, I mean, what is there? Even if we count all the closeted ones, I don't know, 20% atheists? That 20%, they're going to take over the country. And I love the assumption that, like, well, obviously if you're an atheist, you want government to be your God. What the fuck are you talking about? No, I'm somebody who's an atheist. Do I think government should be God? No. I think government should do rational things, and they have a defined role. We've spoken about it before. Education, healthcare, universal daycare is another thing that we've spoken about. Other modern nations have. We're lagging behind. But I don't want them to do everything. I still believe in the private sector. I think that should exist. But he's just striving things a straw man. Christians are persecuted. You guys are persecuting Christians. No, we're not. You guys want communism. No, we don't. You guys want government to be God. No, we don't. See, when you can't actually win in the realm of ideas, what do? Just make up what your opponent believes. So he has no answer for the fact that according to various studies, single-payer healthcare systems around the world are better than private systems. He has no answer for that. So we can't say, hey, here's the data, here are the statistics, here's the numbers, here's the health outcomes, and we're better than government-run healthcare systems. He can't say that. So what does he do? I don't know. You guys are persecuting Christians, and you want communism, and you want government to be God. There. No, what that is a pathetic smear, and it's immensely made up, and this guy's son is running for president. And I kid you not, he said about Ted before that he and the family, they all prayed together, and an angel came down to Ted and said, you should run for president. You need to be president. And he said, we made the decision at that moment when the angel came down to Ted and told him. These guys are fucking lunatics. Lunatics. And they're in second place in the delegate count and in the election to be the Republican nominee. And the person beating him is, of course, a billionaire buffoon con artist. Look at the state of the country. Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, I got a lot more for you guys. Don't go anywhere. Kirsten Gillibrand goes vicious against Bernie Sanders. When you see me on your block, call the police. Let the motherfuckers know, here come the beat. Motherfucking ram on the couch.
Is that un-PC now? Are we not allowed to say that word, cunt? Oops. I got a lot to talk about here still. We got the Treasury Secretary is announcing that there's definitely going to be a woman on currency now, but perhaps it's not going to be the $10 bill. Is that a good move or a bad move? Let's talk about it. And I got some silly stuff. Towards the end of the show, we're lightening it up because it's been a very heavy one today. James Franco, does he like penis? We will discuss. Very important news story there for you. All right, let's do it. Let's start with Kirsten Gillibrand here. Kirsten Gillibrand is a New York senator who I used to respect, and she recently sat down for an interview with Politico, where she made some ludicrous charges against Bernie Sanders. What else is new? So while discussing the issue of guns, she said the following. I was somebody who was not as focused on this as I should have been as a House member. Meeting these families devastated me, broke my heart. It's so crippling. I mean, I sat down with a mother last week in Brooklyn, and she lost her 4-year-old baby. She took her kid to a park. She said, every mom that takes their kid to a park, and she took her kid to a park, and the kid was killed, a baby, 4 years old, Sanders doesn't have the sensitivity he needs to the horror that is happening in these families. I just don't think he's fully getting how horrible it is for these families. She literally just accused Bernie Sanders of not being sensitive enough to feel for the mother of a 4-year-old who was killed. How do you not realized that this is incredibly dirty politics? And the irony of it all is, for the past few weeks, you've had Hillary supporters saying about Bernie and his supporters, why are you guys playing dirty politics? As they play dirty politics. When Bernie and his supporters bring up that, hey, Hillary Clinton is taking a lot of money from Wall Street and she's probably going to be beholden to them, that's just true. When you say he's not sympathetic enough and sensitive enough to feel for a mother who lost her 4-year-old to gunfire, okay, that's totally made up. Now, also, because they're lying, they've made it seem like, oh my God, there's a world of difference on guns between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. That's just not true. So, for example, Bernie supports universal background checks, so does Hillary Clinton. Bernie supports a ban on high-capacity magazines, so does Hillary Clinton. Bernie supports a ban on assault weapons, so does Hillary Clinton. So what's the difference? Well, Bernie Sanders voted at one time to allow guns on your checked-in bag on Amtrak. So if you're traveling from one place to another place for a hunting trip, for example, you can have your gun in your bag if it's stowed away and safe on Amtrak. How outrageous. Now, guys, that's a debatable issue. You can agree or disagree. But to take something like that and then pretend like he doesn't care when a four-year-old gets shot, he's not sensitive enough to understand what the mother's going through. No, that's made up. You made that up. And the only other difference is the gun seller liability issue, where if a gun seller sells to somebody who passes a background check, has no questionable things there, nothing wrong with the person at all. So selling a legal product to a person where there's no issues whatsoever. And then years later, that person goes and snaps and they go kill somebody with the gun. In that case, should the gun seller be sued? Well, I mean, look, if you say yeah, just call it what it is. You are trying to ban guns through the legislative procedure. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to say, even if you sell to somebody where there were no issues, there were no problems in the background check, there were no mental health issues, wasn't a former felon, nothing, and then they go kill, it's still the fault of the gun seller who had no clue that this person was going to snap and go do anything. Well, that's just a blind fervor and an irrational, you know, stance. Now, again, you can take that stance, but just be honest about what you're doing. You want to ban all guns, and you want to do it through the legislative process. Okay, but just be honest about what your position is. So Bernie disagrees with you on that. To say, to conclude from that, oh, he doesn't care when a four-year-old gets shot. No, you're making a hacky argument, and you're doing dirty politics. And then the final point here, which is amazing that she doesn't realize and she doesn't stop herself when she goes to say this, is you really want to have the debate about who's more sensitive to the American people or to people in general, Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton? Do you really want to have that debate? So apparently Hillary Clinton only believes in gun control and weapons control inside the borders of the U.S. Because once you go outside the borders, she facilitates those arms deals. Her and her staff celebrated. Literally, there are emails where they say it's a Christmas present. They were ecstatic over the fact that U.S. gun manufacturers, U.S. Weapons corporations, they had this gigantic deal worth billions of dollars with Saudi Arabia. ISIS that made it, the Salafi terror state that declared all atheists are terrorists, and they put people to death for fucking sorcery and witchcraft and all types of stupid shit. So you only believe in gun control in certain situations. You don't believe it when you're selling weapons to Netanyahu as he massacres women and children in Gaza, kills 80% civilians, and she refuses to even call it disproportionate like she did in the last debate. Spare me. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so sensitive. But not when it comes to foreign policy. Not when I voted for the Iraq war and minimum 200,000 civilians died. They're not so sensitive. When I call for doing more intervention in Syria today, not so sensitive. When I call for a more muscular foreign policy, not so sensitive. When I defend Obama's drone program where it kills 90% the wrong people, not so sensitive. But I'll pretend like I'm more sensitive inside the borders of the U.S. because we have a 3% difference on gun policy. How can anybody fall for this? And media, to the entire mainstream media, you're horrendous. How bad are you at your job? They would just cover this. Like Kirsten Gillibrand says, Bernie Sanders is not sensitive. Moving on to the next story. What did Kanye West do today? No, go into the fucking details. Talk about the things I'm talking about here. Sensitive? You really want to talk about sensitive? Bernie Sanders wants the minimum wage to be a living wage. Hillary? Depends on the day. Then let's talk about that sensitivity. How about that? Bernie wants to get money out of politics, which would make our government more responsive to the people and push our country way more in a liberal direction. Hillary, not so much. I want to get dark, unaccountable money out of politics. So in other words, just more transparency and I'm good. How about that for sensitivity? How about Bernie wants a government more responsive to the people? Hillary does not. None of that matters. Her foreign policy positions don't matter. People outside of the borders of the United States don't matter. Even inside the borders of the U.S., they don't matter either. They're making a hacky, dirty political point here and trying to portray him as somebody that's extreme on guns when he's super reasonable on guns. And this is a classic example of Republican tactics to try to win an election. You can't win on the issues, so you pivot and you smear. That's what's happening. Okay. Whew. No, seriously, we got to lighten the show up now. I'm not happy. So So the Treasury Secretary, Jack Lew, announced that a woman is definitely going to be on currency. But while it was supposed to be the $10 bill, now they changed their mind and they're going to do the $20 bill. I totally agree with that. In fact, when we covered the original story, when they said, yeah, we're going to put a woman on currency, but it's going to be the $10 bill, I think in my commentary at the time, I said, why would you do that? Take off Jackson, because Jackson, for those of you who don't know, he was pro-slavery, and he was literally pro-genocide. He did the Indian Removal Act, and he did the Trail of Tears. He's most responsible for the slaughter of Native Americans than any other president. And he's still on our fucking money. So he was a bad dude. So, yeah, take him off. And Hamilton was anti-slavery. And then now, of course, I'm sure as many of you know, there's this very popular musical on Broadway about Hamilton, and it's kind of like revived his story and his legacy. Apparently that actually led the government to go, yeah, I don't know, what are we doing here? Let's get rid of Jackson instead of Hamilton. But what's interesting is they still don't know which woman they're going to put on yet. So I don't know how they're going to make the decision or if they're going to do some sort of voting. I have no clue. But on the short list, of course, Rosa Parks makes perfect sense. Susan B. Anthony makes perfect sense. Eleanor Roosevelt, Harriet Tubman, Abigail Adams. Those are all good options. Also, you can go with perhaps Sandra Day O'Connor, female justice to the Supreme Court. You know, that's super historic. There are a million options, which is why I would actually prefer if there were women on more than just one. While we're at it, also throw Martin Luther King Jr. on another, piece of currency or Thurgood Marshall. Like, there are so many contributions made throughout American history by women, by African Americans, by various minority groups, and I mean, just be honest about it, it's not as appreciated in this realm when it comes to currency and stuff like that. And when it comes to, I mean, obviously there's some national monuments, the Civil Rights Movement, Martin Luther King Jr., that's fantastic, but on currency, I mean, what, we had the coin, the Susan B. Anthony coin, which was around for 3.5 seconds, and then that's it, and then everybody else is an old white man, and one of them was pro-slavery and pro-genocide. I think that's stupid. And understand something, guys. So it's not like, I don't want people to misunderstand this as some sort of, like, PC outrage and, like, oh, how dare you. No, I just think it's a better idea, it's a smarter idea, and it makes more sense to honor people on currency who deserve to be honored. That's it. So, if you want to make the argument that the person should be honored who was pro-slavery and pro-Native American genocide, and that person deserves honor more than somebody like Harriet Tubman or Susan B. Anthony, you're welcome to make that argument, but I think you're going to lose that argument, and you're going to lose it in a fucking first-round devastating knockout. Oh, let's keep going here. Story on porn. The state of Utah was flirting with the idea of doing a war on porn recently. We covered the story on the show. And now we get the news that they're actually going to do it. So it's no longer a thought. Now they're like, totally, war on porn, let's do it. So Raw Story explains here. Utah on Tuesday declared pornography a public health hazard. The resolution declares pornography an epidemic that normalizes violence against women. No, it doesn't. And children. Doesn't, and makes men less likely to want to get married. Okay, maybe that one's true, but who cares? It was signed by Republican Governor Gary Herbert after being passed by the Republican-led legislature in the conservative and heavily Mormon state with the support of the Utah Coalition Against Pornography. What a ridiculous coalition! Could you imagine being in that coalition? God, they must beat off so much. Like, the only way you join that coalition is if, like, you're addicted to porn. You're like, yeah, it's so bad, it's horrible. Let's talk about how bad and horrible it is 2 nights a week, because the other 5 nights of the week I'm locked up in a dark room beating off. What? Did I say that out loud? And they say, the resolution calls on the state legislature to research the impact of pornography and invest in education and efforts to prevent its production and use. It declares pornography a public health hazard, leading to a broad spectrum of individual and public health impacts and societal harms. Okay, everybody needs to understand that all the so-called social ills that they talk about with pornography, completely and utterly made up. It's utterly made up. it's about as made up as saying we have a hazard in the state or in the country of people peeing. There's this thing, they do it multiple times a day. I don't know what the fuck they're doing, but it's gross. We don't like it. This leads to societal ills. It's horrible. Everybody's addicted to it. Seemingly, it's terrible. Now, that makes no sense, right? Why? Well, that's just a normal bodily function that everybody does, and there's really no downside to it. You're not hurting anybody. There's nothing wrong here. Yeah, all that applies also to porn. It all applies to masturbation. It's, okay, peeing, normal human activity, right? So is... I'm trying to say this in ways that are not super gross, but shooting loads, getting off, that's the same. It's like your body produces that, and then what the fuck do you expect? What do you want to do? I'm going to keep it in. Yeah, because that's going to work out well. That's a recipe to create more extremists and pent-up angry people and violent people. I'm going to keep it in, and I feel totally normal. Fucking cum is dripping from my eyeballs, but I don't need the sexual release. What are you talking about? God, porn sucks. No, they're all lying to themselves, and that's a huge difference between the far right and normal people, is that normal people go, yeah, sex. It's part of life. It's pretty pleasurable. Whatever. Can we move on here? Whereas the far right's, no, it's bad because I have these weird, repressed, pent-up things that I'm thinking, and I was shamed when I was younger, and I was doing normal things, and now I'm super... religious, and I hate sex, and it's not fun, and nobody else should like it. I'm going to join the Coalition Against Pornography. Let me go beat off. They're all so stupid. It's all so stupid. No, there are no downsides. No, there are no social ills from it. I would argue the fucking opposite. The more porn that's available, the more people are able to be normal in their sex lives and in their personal habits, the more likely you are to have a relaxed society and a normal society, and not one that's, you know, fucking angry 24/7. But they haven't even come to terms with this. I mean, we have apparently a state of far-right children. And then also, I haven't even said the most dirty part of this bill yet. They try to mesh it together, and they mix it in the same article in Raw Story. They're talking about, they signed this one thing that's anti-pornography and says people shouldn't beat off, and it's horrible, and it's wrong. And then also, they link it to, and there's this anti-child pornography bill. Wait, what did you just do there? No, child pornography, yeah, we all agree that's wrong. That's horrible. But that's not the same thing as regular pornography. Stop linking it. It's like, what? Oh, you're going to defend pornography? Well, I guess you're in favor of child porn. No, I'm not. You made that up. We're not in favor of child porn, but regular porn we're in favor of. Consensual adults doing what they want, not hurting anybody. It's amazing how... they just lump in things and say, this is immoral. But you didn't even provide an argument as to why you think it's immoral. You're just saying it's immoral. It's like when people say it about gambling. It's immoral. Why is it immoral? Some people go too far. Okay, that's their problem. What about people who gamble and there's no problem with it? It's immoral. It's like drug taking. Don't do it. It's so immoral. But, okay, but wait, you had coffee this morning. That doesn't count. Why doesn't that count? I don't know. Exactly. It's a fucking drug. You drink it, or Monster Energy drink. It's a drug. The Xanax you get for anxiety from your doctor, that's a fucking drug. The list goes on and on. On the far right, they just like to lump things in and call them immoral when they're not immoral. Masturbation is not immoral. Sex is not immoral. Drugs are not, by definition, immoral. These things are not immoral. But then they'll judge the fuck out of that. But then, oh, wait a second. How dare you call the Iraq war immoral, where we killed minimum 200,000 civilians and spent trillions of dollars and destroyed a fucking country? That is not immoral. Touching your pee-pee, super immoral. I don't take you seriously. You're fucking clowns. You're fucking children. You're jokes. You're jokes. Okay, I'm sorry. I got angry there. It was supposed to be a relaxed story, and I got fucking angry. All right. Let me see if I could squeeze in two more. There's been speculation about James Franco's sexuality for a while now, and he decided to come out in an interview with New York Magazine, kind of. I think we did a story like this once before about James Franco and his sexuality. I really don't want to do the story, but I feel compelled to because of how silly he is. So let me break it down, and then you guys can make up your own mind. So here's what he said in this interview with New York Magazine. Quote, "If your definition of gay and straight is who I sleep with, then I guess you could say I'm a gay cock tease." James, what does that mean, James? James, that sentence doesn't... What do you say? He continues. "It's where my allegiance lies, where my sensibilities lie, how I define myself. Yeah, I'm a little gay, and there's a gay James." So you are coming out? I think, right? That's what that is. That's him coming out. Okay, yeah, I'm gay. Okay. Again, the first sentence throws me off. "If your definition of gay and straight is who I sleep with, then I guess you could say I'm a gay cock tease." Again, what does that mean? Does that mean like you flirt with dudes, you're about to sleep with a dude, and then you're about to go for the little ding-a-ling-a-ding-dong, and then all of a sudden you pull away and you're like, "Aha, got you, cock tease," and then you leave? Like, what does that mean? But then by the end, I'm thinking, oh, no, he did come out. He said, "Yeah, I'm a little gay," and there's a gay James. Okay, now, if that's confusing to you, wait. That's the point. So this is what he does. He does this every few months. He's like, "Who wants to know about what I want to do with my penis? You do, you do, you do." Apparently everybody actually does. I mean, we're doing a story. It's massively hypocritical. But listen to what he said in 2015. He gave a similar interview where he said this. "I like to think that I'm gay in my art and straight in my life. Although I'm also gay in my life up to the point of intercourse. And then you could say I'm straight." This dude may be the most confused person about his own sexuality on the entire planet. But I do have a final decision on this, okay? He's bisexual. This is what I said at the last time we did the story when he gave the other silly interview in 2015. No, dude, you're bisexual, and it's cool. Like, I don't know why he always does "Am I this? I don't know. I'm just saying. Did I say it? I don't know. You decide, but you shouldn't decide. I'm telling you no, but you should decide, though." What? Like, what are you doing? Just come out and say it. I don't know. He's got these weird issues, but, dude, it's called bisexual. Just come out and say it, okay? And we've discussed it before, but there's a spectrum of sexuality. Some people are just totally straight. Some people are totally gay. Some people are bisexual, and it's basically a 50-50 attraction of both sides. And some people, they're somewhere else on the spectrum. So, you know, they're 70% gay, 30% straight. I don't know. And you can do any mix and put it anywhere you want on that spectrum. I'm sure sexuality varies in nature like that. But to me, when I read everything he says here, it looks like he's gay, he's having trouble just saying he's gay, or he's bi, and he's having trouble saying, "Hey, I'm also attracted to dudes." So he says it in these weird ways where he tap dances. But, you know, I think the most important point here is, and this is where you link it into politics and society at large here, dude, this, like, what you're doing, nobody really cares anymore. Especially the young people. I mean, on the one hand, everybody's covering it, so in that sense, they care. But, like, I think most people have the same reaction I have. We're like, "Well, what are you saying? Like, just say it. Like, what are you saying? Just say what you're trying to say." Because it's no longer like when Ellen came out back in the day when it was a big deal because nobody else fucking came out. Nobody admitted they were gay. But then now it's been years and years and years, and like, okay, maybe this would have been a bigger story in 05, and the people would have cared. Oh, yeah, super, let's fucking buzz about this and really talk about it. Now it's like people read it, and it's just the eye roll. Like, okay, we get it. So many people have come out of the closet. Like, dude, Bruce Jenner just became Caitlyn Jenner and came out as a trans person. And you think everybody's going to be like, you know, over the top buzzing about your sexuality? Again, everybody, they're talking about it, but the reaction is more, like, get over yourself. Like, now to the younger generation, if somebody says, "Hey, I'm gay," the response is, "End." Like, it's not a thing anymore. It's not to the younger generation. I don't know what the ages are, 35 and below maybe, thereabouts. If somebody says, "Okay, like, I'm gay," it's not like a thing. It has as much of an impact as somebody coming out saying, I'm straight. I just wanted to let you know I'm attracted to the opposite sex. Be like, "Why are you telling me? I don't give a fuck. What the fuck?" So if somebody says, "Yeah, I'm gay," or "I'm bi," and then, like, is there a rest of the story? Like, what are you saying here? It's not that big a deal. So, dude, breathe, relax, just come out and say you're bi. It's all good, and we'll all move along. This isn't like a thing you're doing in 1987 anymore, so we can grow up. All right, and final story of the day. China has allegedly banned Selena Gomez over this picture with the Dalai Lama. How outrageous. She should be ashamed of herself. So she had tour dates in a few cities, including Shanghai, and now she's not even allowed to go into the country. And China apparently also banned Maroon 5 and Bon Jovi for similar reasons, because they expressed solidarity or concern for the Dalai Lama. All right, for those of you who don't know the history, there's a history here between China and Tibet. China basically took over Tibet. Tibet doesn't want to be part of China. They kind of want to be independent. Of course, Tibet is where the Dalai Lama is. I don't know, man. China is fucked up. That's my general take on this story, because we've seen so many examples of it. And what popped in my mind as I read this was the story we covered about Donald Trump. Remember how they have these headlines in China about how, oh, Western democracy is so flawed and so bad and so wrong and it doesn't work, and Donald Trump is a perfect evidence as to why that is. Meanwhile, no, they're just doing propaganda. Now, obviously, it's true that Donald Trump is an issue and we disagree with Trump across the board, but that doesn't mean you throw out the baby with the bathwater. You don't say, there's not your system. Democratic will of the people. Bullshit. Totally gone. Forget about it. And we do have our issues. Don't get me wrong. Electoral college is stupid. I can go on a rant about all that different stuff. But their point is far-reaching beyond that, where they're like, our system is great, their system is bad. So they're doing tribalism 101, and they're doing propaganda 101, and they're trying to say we're good, they're bad. Meanwhile, they're deflecting when they have so many internal problems. It's a weird authoritarian, pseudo-communist, pseudo-capitalist fucking feudal state, and they suppress dissent in an unbelievable way, and then as they do that, they're like, ah, America is so stupid. You're not open-minded. Look at this guy Trump. He wants to ban people from the country. Hey, by the way, ban Selena. Selena Gomez needs to be banned because she dared to smile with the Dalai Lama. We'll show her. Man, aren't those Americans so close-minded when they try to ban people like Trump did? The hypocrisy is overwhelming, and that's what's frustrating about it. All right, guys, I'm out of time. I love you. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same place. Everybody have a good one. Mwah. Peace.